When I started birding in the 1970s, the scientific consensus was that virtually all birdsong is performed by males. In recent years, more and more studies have revealed that a great many more female birds sing than was ever appreciated. A landmark 2014 study by Karen Odom found that females sing in 71% of the surveyed species of 32 families. As I read more and more of these new papers about female birds singing, I couldn't help but notice that not only Karen Odom's PhD research, but also most of the other work has been primarily authored by women. My observation turns out to be accurate. On August 26th, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where several of these scientists are centered, released a study in Nature Communication revealing that women make up only 44% of the first authors on general birdsong papers, but 68% of the first authors of papers about female bird singing. Without this seminal work, we'd still be following the old false line of thought that mainly male birds sing. On the very day that I read about this, I was reading a 1953 paper in the Canadian Field Naturalist, Nesting Life and Behavior of the Red-Eyed Vireo by Louise de Caroline Lawrence. She was a prolific field researcher who over her career wrote more than 500 reviews and 17 scientific papers for the American Ornithologists Union and 7 books, and was Audubon's most prolific writer. She also banded 25,000 birds. Born and raised in Sweden, Lawrence was the daughter of a trained naturalist. She served as a Red Cross nurse stationed in Denmark during World War I, fell in love with and married a Russian officer, and then was captured with him by the Russian revolutionaries. He was killed, and she escaped and settled in Canada as a public health nurse in the northern wilderness, and became the nurse for the world's first surviving set of quintuplets, the famous Dion quintuplets. Dealing with newborn quints may have been excellent preparation for keeping track of active, virtually identical individual vireos. Regardless of how she came by her skills, she's been one of the only researchers ever to successfully follow red-eyed vireo families for more than 3 days after the young fledged. She also made an important discovery that disproved what prominent ornithologists had always believed, that male red-eyed vireos as well as females incubate the eggs. In her paper, she cited what these authorities had written and then noted, "As I began this study, I soon found that this information was not in agreement with my observations, a circumstance which obviously required an especially careful investigation. On the basis thereof, I present my evidence that in the Pamisi Bay region, the female red-eyed vireo was always found to incubate alone with no assistance from the male." She also noted that Margaret Morse Nice and Catherine Ann Graves were seeing the same thing in the red-eyed vireos they studied. It seems significant, if odd, that the discovery that only female red-eyed vireos incubate their eggs, and the more recent discovery that so very many female birds sing, were made by women. Is it that my sex is more likely to keep an open mind about female sex roles and division of labor in bird pairs? Or was there another reason why the vast majority of ornithologists, most of them male, clung unquestioningly to the conventional wisdom about the greater importance of male birds for so long? A year or two ago, I was leading a field trip on Hog Island in Maine. My co-leader was a prominent ornithologist whom I genuinely like a lot and don't consider particularly sexist. But I was gobsmacked when we came upon a singing red-eyed vireo, and I mentioned that one red-eye had once been followed for a full day as he sang 22,197 songs. My co-leader laughed and said that the woman who counted those songs clearly had, quote, too much time on her hands. But that woman was hardly the stereotypical bored housewife of his imagination. She was Louise de Caroline Lawrence herself. When acclaimed British ornithologist Noble Rowland suggested people devote a whole day to one special bird activity, she accepted the challenge by following one red-eyed vireo from 3 a.m. through his heading to roost before sunset. She didn't just keep a running tally of the bird's songs as she followed him throughout his 3-acre territory. She kept track of his behaviors minute by minute and hour by hour, and noted what else was happening as well. The article she wrote for Audubon about that day is rich and lyrical, transcending simple enumeration to give us a lovely portrait of one bird, all because she was a meticulous, clear-eyed scientist with more substantial work to her credit than any ornithologist I know today. Too much time on her hands? No. Louise de Caroline Lawrence was doing the painstaking and meticulous but satisfying work of an excellent field ornithologist. The days of ornithological societies excluding women are over, but apparently not the days of dismissing solid research done by women. This is why diversity and inclusiveness in any field is so important. Eyes looking at questions from different angles help find the actual truth. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.